Hello, everyone. Krista and Hannah here with a brief message before we start the episode.
We are on the third season of Keys to Music Learning, and we have loved every second. Talking about audiation-based piano instruction is a passion of ours, if you couldn't tell, and we thank you for listening and keeping us going.
We recently launched the Keys to Music Learning community. Similar to Patreon, this is a way to support the podcast and access bonuses, such as opportunities to attend podcast recordings and monthly meetings so you can pick our brains with your questions, share your successes, and connect with other teachers.
Become a silent partner for only $3 a month, or to access the bonuses, a friend of the podcast for $5 a month. Join today at musiclearningacademy.com/keys to music learning community. The link will be in our show notes.
Thank you all for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to Keys to Music Learning. I'm Krista Yadro of Music Learning Academy.
And I'm Hannah Mayo of Hannah Mayo Music.
Join us as we discuss common goals and challenges in the piano studio and offer research-based ideas and solutions to guide every one of your students to reach their full musical potential with audiation.
I am excited to introduce you to Paul Jensen, a piano teacher from San Antonio, Texas. I met Paul in the summer of 2018 at the Piano Level 1 PDLC at Brookline Music School, where Krista was a faculty member. And we have been friends and colleagues ever since, and we work together in a group of teachers called For Inspiration, and hopefully we'll be talking more about that later. But I would just like to introduce you to Paul Jensen. Hello, Paul. So great to have you here.
Hello, Hannah. Hello, Krista.
Could you start by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and about your musical background?
Yeah. Right now, in addition to teaching private piano in San Antonio, I perform a lot as an accompanist. It's a pretty good gig as a pianist. And that's really how I got started here in San Antonio first, was just playing piano. And the studio grew later. More on that in a little bit. But where I came from, why I'm teaching music moves for piano initially came because I have three children, and I needed to find a suitable piano method to teach them. I didn't like any of the other ones, so I'll go even further back in time now. I have a bachelor's in piano performance from the University of Kansas. I finished that in 2002. That did not immediately turn into a career, as so often happens. But while I was at school, I was even an accompanist back then on the campus, even as a undergraduate. I could go even further back than that. I was the accompanist in a high school band as well. So I've been playing piano at the behest of others for a very long time now. I got married and had children, and my spouse joined the military, and we moved from place to place, and I wasn't always a musician in those places, but I was always a daddy, and I was a musical daddy. We had a piano in the house, and as the children grew up hearing me play the piano, it was just personal enjoyment kind of playing. They grew more and more interested in it. Sort of an organic kind of acculturation happened with the kids. And I realized, well, I'm going to have to actually teach them now. And so somewhere around 2008, 2009, a internet search in earnest began. My oldest at that time was 8 years old. Middle child would have been 4. And my youngest was 1 year old at that point. And I was like, I'm going to have to teach some piano lessons. And I started thinking back to my own piano lessons at a young age and realizing that all of those were really depressing me even then. I started reflecting a lot on how I was taught piano. And it was a lot like what was happening in my house already. You know, I told you that if daddy's playing the piano and the kids are listening, well, that's how I was brought up as well. My daddy played the piano. And all of the siblings just acquired all of the great piano music that way. And then formal piano for me started at age 7 in an Alfred book. And I think I benefited quite a bit from my first piano teacher, even despite the piano method. But the greatest thing about that teacher was that she was more of a singer than a pianist. I loved the sound of her voice. And it really resonated me as a little 7-year-old. I already had all the piano music and I was already playing the piano, but she was able to formalize the things that she was teaching me through her voice very well. That was only 1 year of piano lessons I had before my dad was in the military. So we moved and I had another piano teacher. And various methods floated in front of me as I went from teacher to teacher as we moved. But I think that very first piano teacher had a very big impact on me in terms of my ability then to be creative at the piano and to audiate. And I carry that with me even now. When I started my search for my own children, I was seeking something like that out. Later on, when I studied piano performance at the University of Kansas, one of the professors there was a piano pedagogy professor, and he was had us survey all the various piano methods. And he was very much into Guy Duckworth. If you're not familiar with those piano methods, they incorporate a lot of audiation-based stuff in them. Also, a lot of training in the keyboard that lends itself, you know, multi-key. There's strong emphasis on group lessons. There are a lot of good stuff going on in there. And that sort of tickled me at the time, even though I wasn't thinking about being a piano teacher. I was just thinking about being a pianist at that point. But fast forward to having children, we're like, there were some good methods. And I started looking up Guy Duckworth, started looking up and looked at Bob Pace, you know, some of these old school piano method writers. And I was like, yeah, but it's not quite there. It's not quite enough. And I kept searching. And I don't remember all of the searches that I did, but I ended up eventually at gimmel.org and read a very short essay by Edwin Gordon and got really fired up about it. I was like, okay, that's the way I want to teach. Now I just need a piano method. And it was not too much of a stretch to find music moves for piano. At that point, I ordered the books. I did not order the teacher guide. I ordered the lesson book. I put the lesson book on the piano, and we started going front to back with my little kids, with just the two older ones. Morgan was 6th grade at the time. Connor would have been 2nd grade at the time. And Riley, you know, he wasn't even in kindergarten. He was 3, I think, at that time. Started teaching them. I also had a small studio starting out, like neighborhood kids, that kind of thing going on. Book one, no keyboard games. I had no idea about keyboard games. And even in the very haphazard way that I started teaching them, a lot of amazing things started happening right at the beginning. And I knew that was the way to go. That's pretty much a summary of what happened. That's not everything that happened. And, you know, between then and now, you know, meeting you and Hannah in 2018, there's more to that. But I could go on, but I don't think I need to unless y'all want me to.
Well, I just want to say that your kids are very musical and they play multiple instruments, if I'm correct.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Morgan is 21 now. She is a music ed major at UTSA right
now. Awesome.
And playing the violin. She's been playing the violin for as long as she played the piano. She started those two instruments concurrently, piano lessons with me and playing in a middle school orchestra. And, you know, that's in terms of formal training, that's actually kind of late in life to start such things. But she did that. And even though she started kind of late in those instruments, she's a powerful audiator. And she's had a lot of acculturation. And, you know, some people think if you start lessons really, really late, that you're not going to be able to do anything either educationally or professionally. I just don't think that's the case. But a lot of that can be overcome with with just a lot of just bathing in music and acculturation. And that was definitely a benefit for Morgan. So that's her story. She plays the violin and she sings in the choir at UTSA. And so she's definitely a multi-instrumentalist kind of all-around musician kind of teacher coming out of that. My middle son, Connor, is someone who started taking piano lessons early on, learned some basics with it, but then wanted to go on and do other things. So he has probably the least amount of formal music training in the house or elsewhere, but he's very creative and artistic, and he loves being on the theater group in his high school. The youngest, Riley, probably got the best of any kind of combination of instruction and acculturation.
They always do, the youngest.
Yeah. And the older, you know, Morgan is really jealous of him now because he does things so easily. He's just powerfully musical. And I have a video. I actually have video of him when he was 3 years old. When I started teaching, playing one of the Music Moves tunes, he figured it out himself. I didn't teach it to him, but he'd heard his older siblings figuring it out. And fast forward now, he's 14 now. He is finishing middle school. He's been taking cello lessons for 4 years now. And he made first chair cello in his all region orchestra. I guess that's one achievement he's done. But I'm a teacher and a music director at a church, and I've got a cellist, a really good cellist, in my back pocket all the time now, and I call him. He's doing gigs with me all over
the place.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. So, but Riley's piano experience, he went from book one, and we got all the way to about unit three in book five.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Before it was like, okay, Daddy, that's enough. I was trying to get him to improvise in Phrygian, and we were both having trouble with it. And he was like, okay, Dad, I just want to do cello for a while. I was like, okay, fine. You can graduate from piano now. But we just had a four inspiration event called Winter Piano Games. And he was running tech at that event. And afterwards, he's like, Daddy, I might want to do the next one of those you do. So even now, he can't let go of the piano. So very proud of that.
That's awesome. So you mentioned improvising in Phrygian tonality. And there are a lot of differences in music moves for piano that might not be in other methods. And one of those is singing in all the modes, singing patterns, chanting rhythm patterns. When you first opened up that book one, what was, I guess, foreign to you, and how did you develop your own audiation skills as you were teaching your children?
Well, to open up a music moves for piano book coming from a culture that most, say, piano teachers come from, you open it up and you look for the repertoire first. You're like, let's open this up. Okay, what are we going to play on the piano first? And when you do that and you open it up to a song like Popcorn, a number of things might fly through your mind. And I knew this opening it up. Like, I knew that this, because I had researched and found music learning theory first, and I was like, this is the way to go. I was giving a lot of forbearance to it. And I was like, that's not what I imagined would happen, but I'm gonna go ahead and do it anyway. So we did it and went from there. Needless to say, there's a lot of content in those books that I didn't understand. There's a lot of abbreviation in it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of nomenclature words that have traditional meanings, but have been specifically named in that way so that we can discriminate between one musical thing and another musical thing. And, I sort of gradually picked the lingo up as I went through the book. And if there's anything, if anybody's listening to this that has looked at this or the teacher guide and thought, wow, the learning curve is too high, I meet those kind of people too. And with all of the training that's available for Music Moves for Piano from Krista and Hannah and from Gimmel, that can also be very, very intimidating. Just, wow, look how much training people need to do in order to do this. And I keep telling them, yeah, but even if you didn't do that and you started teaching this way instead of the old way, you're still going to be doing a better job with that student. You're still going to be providing more for them. And I saw that right from the beginning. you wanted to know how it's helped me. I'm an accompanist. So for a long time, I have been sort of a music reading computer at the piano, which a lot of accompanists are. We crack the code, we know how to read notes, and that turns the piano into an instant orchestra for whoever wants it. I somehow magically figured out how to do that in high school. And that's where I was when I started teaching my kids. So I would, everything that I wanted to derive from and do on the piano was based on, let's take the symbology, turn it into music as fast as possible. The things that I didn't do at the time, 10 years ago now, I did not improvise in public. Occasionally, I would improvise at home. That comes from other teachers that you know, I can't even remember anymore. So I never improvised in public, and I'd always wanted to compose music, but I never had. And between the beginning there of starting to teach my kids and now, where I've got a piano studio of 24 students, I'm an accompanist for 150 or so high school kids per year, and I perform with three orchestras as pianist. I've composed pieces and improvised in public so often now that it's almost like breathing. So it really has transformed me as a performer just by teaching this stuff. Going through the creativity assignments step by step. If you've never done it before, and if you go through the book, I think it's going to transform a lot of other teachers as well.
I'm so glad you said that thing about just going ahead and teaching, even if it's a little intimidating and you feel overwhelmed by the amount of training that is available and knowing that it might take that much training, because I totally agree with you. Fumbling around with music moves that first year and a half was more beneficial for my students than fumbling around with any other method, I have to say. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, you shouldn't be afraid to approach it on your own terms, and you can look through it and find the things that you absolutely value now as a teacher. And if you go into that with an open mind about everything else that's in there, I think you will find some huge benefits for you and your teachers.
And I agree too. I mean, we learn by doing. Right. So you can take all the trainings, you can go to Gimel, you can take my keyboard games course, you can do all them. But if you don't apply any of it, if you don't teach the lessons, it's not really going to sink in. So I always tell everybody, you have to jump right in. That's used a lot in the Gimel world, because you have to just start and you have to do it. We have all made mistakes. I learned about music learning theory years before I tried MM4P, and I didn't even have the teacher's book. I've talked about that before too. We've all made mistakes, but we've all done wonderful things with our students, even as we were making those mistakes. So yeah, I completely agree. I'm glad you talked about that, Paul. So I think that's a good place to stop today's episode with Paul, but Paul's going to be back for our next episode, and we have lots more to talk about. We can't wait. Thank you so much, Paul, for being here today, and we look forward to our next time that we get to chat.
Thanks so much. We'll see you soon.